Welcome to Motivation Insiders, the podcast that explores the way incentive, recognition, and loyalty programs are designed, implemented, and measured. We look at motivation with an exclusive view from, well, the inside. Motivation Insiders is an ongoing podcast designed and produced by the IESP, the Incentive Engagement Solution Providers of the Incentive Marketing Association. My name is Paul Nolan. I'm the editor of Sales and Marketing Management and the host of this podcast. If you lead or are part of a sales team, you may have completed your annual sales kickoff for the year. Maybe you brought your team together, introduced some new products or new technology for your sales process, and possibly introduced a new sales incentive program. Every company tries to send their sales reps away from a sales kickoff with high energy and even higher confidence. Unfortunately, that energy and confidence can wane, sometimes even before the first quarter has ended. In this episode of Motivation Insiders, we talk with two incentive industry experts about the challenges of sustaining the energy generated in a sales kickoff through the rest of the year. Carl McDonald is Vice President of Customer Success for Vibe SMG, and Paul Haynes is Executive Vice President of Americas for Zozo Day. On the surface, these are two companies that develop and manage sales incentive programs. What I was struck by in the course of our conversation is the depth of knowledge that McDonald and Haynes and their teams bring to their clients in terms of the psychology of motivation and the science behind getting workers to improve their performance. In sports, coaches often talk about striving to put each player in a position to be successful. That's essentially what sales management is. Vibe SMG, Zozo Day, and the other companies that are part of the Incentive and Engagement Solution Providers, the IESP, create programs that help sales managers put their team members in position to succeed. But it takes a lot more than putting together a points program, a trip, or a catalog of rewards to hit quarterly sales goals. What you will learn from this episode of Motivation Insiders, as well as past and future episodes, is that when you partner with an incentive solution provider, you get an invaluable depth of experience and, quite literally, behavioral scientific knowledge about how to keep your teams motivated. As the saying goes, it's not the destination alone, but the journey that gets you there. If you have questions or topics that you'd like to have addressed in future episodes of Motivation Insiders, email me at paul@salesandmarketing.com. Here's my conversation with Carl McDonald and Paul Haynes. Carl McDonald and Paul Haynes, thanks for joining us. Tell us, Carl and Paul, where we are reaching you today.
You've reached me in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Paul. You've reached me in Boston, Mass.
All right. I should say that's Carl in Toronto and Paul Haynes in Massachusetts. So we're recording this the last day of January. A lot of companies have had their sales kickoff this month. And these are, you know, the events where you'll bring a team together, maybe from around the country, maybe even outside of the U.S. You know, they'll set the table for the year ahead. Kickoffs may include review of the previous year, classic SWOT assessments, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, maybe introduce new offerings, introduce new tools or technology that the sales team is going to use, recognize top performers, and maybe introduce an incentive program that's going to be launched this year. Carl, can you start? And then Paul, can you tell us a little bit about your company, your clients that you work with, and how you get involved with sales kickoffs?
Sure, absolutely. So Vibe SMG is a creative B2B technology agency. We design premium user experiences, and we build, you know, a lot of management and strong management tools and deliver highly personalized services for employee and sales incentive programs. The ways in which we typically engage with our clientele as it relates to the sales kickoff environment is more along the lines of the design of the program from a human-focused design standpoint after SKO. So that would be more along the lines of looking how we can engage with the sales audiences throughout the course of the year and building out a calendar of events to keep engagement throughout the various quarters and the various stages of a sales strategy. And those include elements of personalized communications, various performance-based incentive programs. We look at communication strategies that are focused on professional development and other team initiatives, all packaged around the idea of driving the right behaviors And oftentimes that does relate to some type of reward payout, either monetary, non-monetary, or type of experiences that our clients put together.
And Paul, give us a summary of Zozo Day, and again, how you might be involved in sales kickoff programs.
Zozo Day is a global sales incentive, channel incentive, sales compensation, and employee engagement company. We're located through almost every continent in the world. We have about 600 employees and consistently been driving sales incentive programs, sales engagement programs, and sales compensation programs for 12 years. We take a look at all the companies we deal with on a global basis, how we take a look at reinforcing their sales performance, obviously, but also sales behaviors. How do we tailor a program for the roles of people participating in the program? How we give them what they want in rewards. We're a true global reward supplier. We're rewards neutral, where we apply the rewards based on what needs to be driven, whether it's cash, whether it's merchandise, gift certificates, experiences, or travel. How do we then define the program best that suits that client that we're dealing with, and also on a geographic basis?
Well, I mentioned that the objective of sales kickoffs can be multifaceted. Teams typically want to come out of a sales kickoff with alignment on goals, strategies, processes. And there's a lot of high energy at the kickoff that leaders hope continues throughout the year. But unfortunately, it doesn't always play out that way. Many companies struggle to keep the momentum and energy that they create at a sales kickoff going even through the end of the first quarter. We're here today to talk about how to prevent that from happening. Carl, have you had instances where clients have come to you and kind of mentioned this problem of, you know, a lot of energy coming out early in the year and then sort of trailing off with some of that energy?
Absolutely. I mean, the reality of it is any type of a sales strategy campaign, we'll call it like this, will be very similar to any type of an incentive or performance-based campaign that you're running. There's going to be a lot of energy coming out of the gate. And what will happen is if you don't pay the right attention to the right behaviors, the right activities, things will tail off. That's just, you know, human nature. People will fall into the routine. So it is very important that we speak to our, and every time that we speak to our clients about this, we have to make sure that we do capture that momentum out of the gate. And one of the big things that we focus on is related to essentially looking at driving that momentum by creating some cohesion within the team. And we call it the cohesion phase of a campaign coming out of an SKO like this. And what we're trying to do is make sure that the best way to have some momentum going is to have everyone have early success in the campaign. And the biggest part that we mentioned from the focus on a campaign like this is to have a really strong coaching. So coming out of an SKO, you have been trained on so much content related to new product knowledge, new strategy, like you mentioned, Paul, and you've given all the knowledge that they need. Now you really need to start coaching the behaviors that have come out of that so that you can then lead people in the right direction to ultimately get towards that successful goal attainment that we're all striving for. So that's oftentimes the first phase as we outline it for making sure that we're keeping the momentum going is hitting individuals and reps with strong coaching on the behaviors that have come out of the SKO. That's always a phase one approach. You know, when you've layered in the coaching, then you can start looking at ways in which you can tailor identifying and segmenting it. And Paul Haynes and I talked about this a little bit earlier. How can we segment the audiences based on the behaviors that people are displaying or not, and then tailoring perhaps some reward and recognition activities around attainment of those behaviors or, you know, through your coaching initiatives?
Paul, let me ask you about this concept of that Carl mentions of early success. Is that something Zozo Day builds into their programs? And how does what does that look like?
I think early success is a key factor, but it's also adoption of the program by the majority of the participants. So early success, building that foundation before understanding what the goals and objectives are, and are those goals and objectives realistic, and communicating those to the masses. And then, i.e., do you segment even the incentive program out based on life cycle of the employee? There's going to be some veterans in there that are always going to win the incentive that may be the top three, and making sure those are addressed. But the ones that are in the middle, in the lower level, how do we bring those up and understand that going into it? And as Carl said, then you have a foundation there of understanding who your audience is and segmenting that communication based on where they're at in their life cycle of work. And then also taking into account feedback on the launch from every individual. I call it blind feedback. Does this ring up with the expectations of the organization? Are you in sync with it? And are you buying in? And getting a rating on that from the masses on there. And if it doesn't, then how do we take a step back and communicate to the stakeholders what we should make changes on? So it's getting buy-in from everybody right from the start, getting that excitement going, and then also addressing maybe some gaps that may be in there from the launch that, that takes place. The worst thing that can happen is taking launching a great program and not and only having buy-in from the top 10%.
And that's a great point. If I can just chime in on that, Paul, or just add a bit to it. I think that's one of the challenges that a lot of organizations are going to face coming out of an SKO is that resistance to change, right? From the majority of people that are set in their ways, just as human beings, you kind of fall into that. There's going to be a percentage of people that are going to be resistant. So those are things, like Paul mentioned, that you do need to have a constant feedback loop. But at the same time, understanding that the sales management team has done their due diligence on where they'd like the organization to go, and that the sales managers will need to then be responsible for how to relay that message to the team. And again, opening up the feedback loop, but at the same time, providing the coaching required so that people do understand where we're going, the support services that they have, or the the resources they have to succeed, and then guiding them along so that everybody's kind of on the same page to getting pulling in the right direction or getting that flywheel turning.
So Paul, you mentioned the concept of getting early feedback, and you call it blind feedback. I'm assuming you're saying by that you mean that it's anonymous feedback.
It's anonymous feedback, right, that comes in. And if you don't do an anonymous, then you're not going to get, I feel, the straight feedback that they're looking for.
And obviously
that's biased by salespeople where they are in their life cycle, and you have to take that into account. Somebody that's a high performer will come back with, great, I'm ready to go this year. But somebody that may just join may not meet those standards. And how do we then reinforce the behaviors that they need to do to improve?
Can you give me examples of what sort of comments companies, maybe clients of yours, have received? What kind of feedback are they getting? And especially interested in if they think the launch was negative in any way?
Yeah, and I hate to go on a negative spin, but it's the feedback on that end would be, you're looking for 150% increase in my sales, and we've run and I've lost two major clients, right? What is going on? So it's individual feedback and looking at it on an individual basis, and then taking that information back, and you can take a look at how you want to adjust that based on where it's at. So is the rules in engagement and communications too broad? And how do we bring that down? So then we specifically address the employee, the sales population, based on who they are and where they are in the life cycle.
Carl, you mentioned this cohesion phase is quarter one, maybe even early quarter one. Mm-hmm. Are there warning signs that appear in terms of flagging energy that early?
I would say absolutely. And the work here, and Paul touched on a little bit where the danger in how you're approaching the SKO discussion is simply focused on the KPI, or at least I should say the goal attainment as the original activity. So if we're only focusing on that and attainment as the primary objective of the actual sales strategy, then you are leaving yourself in a bit of a pickle, because you do have to frame it a little bit differently to make sure that people are understanding that it is possible to achieve these things, but we need to break them out in understanding how to perform the behaviors that the organization deems will get us to where we want to go. So we can easily identify, I think, early on, based on some feedback that like Paul mentioned, be it anonymous survey or in discussions with sales managers, if there is a lack of cohesion, or if the flywheel really isn't turning. If you're getting kind of a negative feedback, or only a focus on the actual target-based initiatives for the entire year, you can certainly get a sense of that. I think where you start getting some really interesting feedback is if you are targeting the right behaviors with your coaching, and if you are looking at reinforcing the right behaviors and you're rewarding the right behaviors early on in the life cycle of your sales strategy, the last part of that will be to utilize feedback from the field, right? So to Paul's point a bit earlier, maybe it's not just initial feedback on the SKO or the objectives of the entire year, but more along the lines of, are our original initiatives and how we're addressing customers and prospects early on based on, you know, on what we've taught you in the SKO, are we getting the feedback that we're expecting from the field? Is it, you know, resonating with our customers? Are our processes causing inefficiencies? Are we being effective in kind of our with our sales pipeline? And you can get some feedback from the field related to that. And then to Paul's point a bit earlier, you can make some micro adjustments to some strategies as it relates to key behaviors. So I wouldn't say that you're going to necessarily get doom and gloom out of the gate if you are focusing on the right behaviors early on. But if you're doing it right, then you can actually get everybody on the same page to provide good, valuable feedback for understanding where the sales team will be flagging some challenges to then achieve greater success in the future.
Yeah, kind of, it makes total sense. I think the cohesion of it is always, we always look at a positive launch and try to make that happen. But also it's the flexibility of adjusting on the fly and reinforcing behaviors that need to be reinforced as you move along.
Paul, your outline has three phases. The second one is an assessment phase, and you say it's at the end of quarter one, maybe early quarter two. Talk to me about what sales leaders are looking to accomplish in this phase and what they're doing.
So I mentioned a little bit earlier in the conversation that really we always position all of our initiatives or any of our clients' programs as campaigns. And what you should be doing with any type of a campaign is you should be, of course, coming up with a plan, and you're making assumptions and projections of where you think, you know, the campaign is going to bring you, what type of success you're going to have. But for any successful campaign, you do need to include an assessment phase, right? So once you've had everybody pulling, you get the flywheel turning, you got everybody pulling in the right direction as part of the assessment, as part of the cohesion phase, the assessment phase is really looking to target a few different elements. One is how successful are the reps collectively being, right? Is the distribution, is the projection of success as we expected? Is everyone kind of falling in line with, you know, with what we're expecting? You're wanting to not only just understand from a KPI standpoint or a goal attainment standpoint how well we're tracking, but we also want to start looking at assessing on the alignment. We're doing a bit of an alignment check, right? Things that came out of the SKO where, are people still understanding the strategy? Do people know the new sales process perhaps that we came forth with? You know, are they understanding our weaknesses and our threats or our biggest opportunities? So we're assessing kind of where everybody's at. Is there an SKO training amnesia? Have we lost a little bit of that momentum that has gone on over the first couple of months as people step back into their routines? You know, another element that we look into is market analysis, right? Has there been anything that's changed in the market, either competitively, you know, or globally in the economy, or something that is that has changed based on our pre-SKO projections, right? So it's just kind of doing an overall assessment of how our entire, I'll call it again, a campaign, how are we looking? And then where do we need to kind of button things up?
This is a lot more than just setting up an incentive program and operating it, which I think some people think that's what companies like Zozo Day do, Paul. But it sounds like companies like yours and Carl's get a lot more involved than just here's how the program's structured and leaving it to the client to take it off from there.
And that's what we do, Paul. That's the benefit of how do you counsel them on how to improve. And like Carl was saying, how do we take a look at what's going on through the sales management team of any organization, and then reinforce the behaviors that are lacking or reinforce the behaviors that need improvement within that organization. And it's usually driven through the sales management side and how it communicates on a regular basis. It's not on a quartile. It's not on a six-month basis. They're talking to these individuals on a regular basis, what's going on, and then taking data to where they're at. Do they know the product well? What's the market like? What's the training been like? Have you done, and are you presenting us correctly? Is there enough calls going in? Is there enough appointments being made? And taking a look at that on a regular basis, and that'll result into incentive performance across the board. And it's not easy because everybody, as Carl said, gets into their old routines, and how do you get them uncomfortable? And I make that in a positive way to drive better performance across the board. And it is, hopefully we can take our knowledge and our experience with hundreds of companies and bring forward a consulting approach instead of saying, here's a great sales incentive program, run with it. As an industry, I think we've done a great job in that in the last few years.
So you're saying that clients are not only accepting of your involvement sort of in some deep issues that are outside of just the incentive program itself. Not only do they accept that, they actually want it because, you, as you say, you have a lot of experience with a lot of different companies.
Absolutely. I think they do, right? I mean, people think that our clients have a lot more access to data and insights than they actually do. The reality is that they may not be granted as much access as we would like them to, or even have the tools to analyze these things or the bandwidth to. So knowing these things, they're absolutely open to having us maybe provide some of those insights, give them some tips and tricks and things that they haven't considered. Because oftentimes people, professionals will stay within the same industry and they'll just be comfortable in providing, you know, things that people have done in the past, things that are inside of the industry. Whereas where you get a lot of value is in, I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier, in differentiating and looking at different avenues for getting to the same results, or not the same results, but better results.
The best thing that can happen is if they start looking at us as a team, as part of their team,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really where it comes into play, is they start looking at us as part of their team, not somebody that's selling them something. And that's where I've seen the most, the best results across the board.
Everyone is crazy about data and data gathering these days. What sort of data from your platforms, your programs, are you gathering that can help them with some insights they may not have realized would be available?
Well, there's a lot of information that you can pull from, you know, a standard sales data feed that you combine with, you know, various campaigns that you're running. So be it behavioral-based campaigns, right? Participation in knowledge assessment, feedback loops, you know, and then guess not corroborating, but you're comparing that to actual sales performance, right? So what people are responding to from a knowledge assessment standpoint to what that actually correlates to from a sales behavior standpoint, you can actually see and paint a picture to say these individuals are very strong in this knowledge base, but it's not, you know, and it's equaling to the sales that they're generating. So where is the gap, right? And not understanding perhaps this product line or this additional service, and it's equating to lesser sales in that area. So you're kind of drawing a good line as it relates to behavior versus knowledge, and oftentimes. And those are things that are simple, out-of-the-box solutions that would not be necessarily accessible to customers.
And I think a key factor, Carl, we talked about it, is that pulling in data. We pull in data from all sources, CRM, LMS, structure, and pull it in all areas, performance, and integrate to look at that data, but also to give it to sales management teams so they can look at it in bite-sized information.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a dashboard that they can look at quickly and see what's going on with Paul or Carl, and look at it quickly and see when they're having a conversation with them. So it could be a Salesforce integration, LMS, what's my training, what's my reach outs, who have I talked with, and pulling all that data in, and what have I sold? And that can be in one bite-sized piece that they don't have to spend 2 hours a day looking at spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm.
And taking data that they can get in bite-sized pieces and adjust effectively quickly. And I think data is a key factor on driving success of any program now, and data that's relevant and timely.
And one of the golden eggs of really of the incentive industry is really understanding if your promotion or your campaign was actually successful. Did it drive any additional behavior, right? And sometimes, and a lot of the times, we don't fully know, or our clients don't know if that campaign that they ran for, you know, a multiplier on this specific sales, for example, did that actually drive behavior? Some of the insights that we can provide is we can look at a comparable period for our customers and analyze not only you know, what the sales were for that period for this specific audience, but what did this new campaign deliver? Did it give you incremental growth? You know, did you actually succeed on your objectives? But not only that, is giving them the bigger picture, Paul, in terms of how they should approach any type of an incentive program, and they should look at it as a campaign. So not only the data side, but the structure is where, you know, we provide a lot more insight. So what does your communication look like? You know, what does your reminder system look like? You know, how do you layer in the elements of education and reinforcement to then drive that behavior? And then looking at it and saying, did it work? That's where you're kind of providing a full package of services on a campaign basis, rather than just saying, you know what, we're going to give people $10 in gift cards for every sale that they do this month and see what happens, right? That's kind of an older way of looking at it, whereas we have so much more information and so much more knowledge that we can share about how to properly design a program based on some previous experience, see if it works. And if it doesn't, then we can make recommendations for the next time.
Key factor there was you brought up is ROI. I think that's a demand almost from every client now is what's my ROI and can you give me information that gives me supports my program across the board. And then also segmentation, as you just brought up, communication and segmentation to individuals with data. As you're using data, how can we segment those communications based on where they are in the life cycle of the program and how they're performing? So I'm not sending out a communication that is blasted out to every single participant, but to the ones that I need to communicate with to drive the performance.
Carl, the third phase of your three-phase strategy for sustaining and even amplifying a sales team's drive and performance after a sales kickoff is the re-energize phase. Your timing on it is the end of the second quarter or early third quarter. Talk a little bit about what's happening in this phase.
Absolutely. And so the re-energize phase, I think everyone will recognize late second quarter, early third quarter as kind of the dog days of the year from a sales standpoint. People start looking at vacation times. People start being out of the office. The sales process tends to slow down significantly. And ultimately, salespeople lose a little bit of control in their pipelines, right? They don't have the ability to drive it forward as much as they wish. So what we need to do as part of the re-energize phase is we look at actually giving reinvigoration of the entire sales strategy for that period, right? So it's looking at how can we re-engage with sales reps and the team to be a bit more in control of you know their sales behaviors or the sales activities during this campaign. So these would be doing really exciting campaigns that are oftentimes focused on professional growth and learning. We look at team contests or multi-step missions for areas that are not necessarily always about dedicated sales performance. So it's not always about achieving goals in terms of numbers at that moment in time, but more along the lines of how can we help prepare our team for the biggest push of the year, which comes, of course, inside of the fourth quarter. So what type of exciting initiatives can we do? You know, multi-step missions, gamified campaigns, team contests, those types, you know, how can we celebrate achievements and collective and individual successes during that period? So we're re-energizing in really creative ways during kind of the dog days when sales aren't necessarily closing as furiously as we would like leading into the really the final push of the year into the fourth quarter.
Paul, are there, it sounds as if Carl and you would say there are incentive programs within incentive programs. So some are going to be shorter term objectives. Tell me a little bit about how you structure that.
That's a great point. Carl, Carl's talking about the dog days. A lot of times we'll do is who's the end user, who's the buyer, right, for the sales incentive program. And then how do we do a pull through? So there's a push out of the incentive program to the end users. So a major technology company is selling their packages. They're there. Salespeople are trying to push it during the dog days. But how do we give an incentive to those end users to make that happen as a pull through? And that means the salespeople have to re-engage during that special promotion period during the dog days to go forward. So it gives them something to pick up the messaging with their clients and then move it forward and give them an incentive during those days. And then also, as Carl said, everything that Carl said went through training, recognition, and gamification. The major performers are always love recognition and having them still pull forward any kind of performance that are there. And then how do you train the users there and spend their time during those dog days to actually improve their process? But we found a message, if we do a pull through and it gives them a reason to talk to their customer again, to bring it out during the dog days is a good way to move forward.
We're talking about changes that happen within a sales year, a calendar year, that you help companies enact. I'm assuming that there are changes to incentive programs. You tweak those as you go along for individual company needs. Can either or both of you talk about what kind of tweaks might be made to a structure of a program as the year goes along?
Absolutely. One of the biggest ones would be an example is in the financial services sector, right? You may be looking at program for those that are mortgage brokers, right? And interest rates and shifts in those, or you'll need to then make adjustments to your campaigns throughout the course of the year based on some economic changes or some changes that are outside of your specific control, but you then have to drive behaviors still, right? So those are looking at marketing conditions and needing to make tweaks to that. Another one would be in travel is a big one, right? And you're looking at shifting focus on destination based on maybe economic environment or weather is a big one, right? Or things along those lines. You do need to make adjustments based on what your expectations are given market conditions as well. So those are global changes. I'm sure Paul can provide maybe more, or not necessarily global, but those are kind of outside of your control type of campaigns. I'm sure Paul can give some examples of maybe micro examples instead of macro examples.
The micro side would be taking a look at the performance ongoing, and then are they realistic? Again, it goes back to realistic. Is the product or solution being sold in line with the rest of the sales team? And then I talk making micro changes even based on the audience. There could be super performers that are doing great, but if there's a large percentage that's not tagging along, how do we add behavioral reinforcements to the program?
Mm-hmm.
The behavior reinforcements are not just for 1 year incentive program. They are long-term improvements, right? So any of the behavior reinforcements, how do we make long-term improvements of training, reaching out, understanding your customer base, understanding the audience, and then also testing them on that as you move forward. So we won't not only address this year, it'll address improving the sales performance across the board for years to come. That's the pitch on that to them, and to make that improvement and measuring that improvement on a weekly and monthly basis.
You can always layer into even on the micro side as if you're understanding or you're realizing that some of your sales-based campaigns are falling a little bit short. Well, the idea there is that you may need to then layer in behavioral promotions on professional development, right? You need to start incenting maybe on learning a little bit more. Maybe it's in working in groups, right? To layer in a campaign or a program that is looking at creating maybe some mentorship opportunities, or you're pairing teams up for better success, right? So you have to constantly be adjusting and understanding how well your teams are succeeding and looking at different ways to motivate behavior and also to incite behavior outside of just your normal course of action. You can't just expect people to always react to cash. That's not going to work. You have to be a little bit more variable in how you analyze how people are reacting to your various campaigns and then trying different things to see if you can get a boost.
Well, this is where I throw it open to both of you. We've been talking about keeping the energy of a sales kickoff high throughout the year. Is there anything I haven't asked you about or anything you want to talk about?
One of the biggest pieces that, and I think this is going to be common knowledge, but something to reinforce is the role that the sales manager has in maintaining that type of energy, right? I mean, you're only as good as your sales manager. So the insight that you're getting from sales managers to keep the teams going and moving and pushing that flywheel forward is really going to drive the momentum of the program throughout the course of the year. There's some research that came out from CEB, which is now part of Gartner, that said that, there's two key factors in determining sales manager effectiveness. And the first one is coaching, right? Making sure that people are coaching the right behaviors, not just telling people how to behave, but coaching them through it. And then the other one is sales innovation. And what that basically means is going through the assessment phase, learning from the field and what, the pushback is going to be or what people are getting from their customers, and then making adjustments and creating creative ways of getting people through the hump. So I would say that the momentum can't simply be sustained with incentive programs. It has to oftentimes be driven at the manager level to motivate the teams by providing the reps the best opportunity to succeed. So you make that hay at the beginning of the year, and then you get creative throughout the course of the year to re-energize as you move forward.
I agree with everything that Kyle just said, but also taking a look at data. I think as we come along and as it improved, how do we segment that data right down to the individual and give the sales managers the information that they need quickly and effectively to manage that data across the board. And there's one other thing we haven't talked about, and it's pretty evident, is rewards. Mm-hmm. Are the rewards on the mark for the demographics that we're dealing with? Is it something they're excited about? And is it segmented based on possible performances across the board? You can do all kinds of incentive programs, but if not excited about the rewards structure, then it's a tough row. It's simple, but it's making sure that those rewards address the needs of the participants.
That sounds like a whole podcast episode in itself, and I hope Doesn't it?
It does.
Paul McDonald is Vice President of Customer Success at VibeSMG. Paul Haynes is Executive Vice President of Americas for Zozo Day. Gentlemen, I thank you for your time. And now that I know you get so deeply involved with your clients, I'd love to have you back so I can learn a lot more about how you work with them.
It'd be my pleasure.
Thank you, Paul. My pleasure.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Motivation Insiders. This podcast is a co-production of the Incentive and Engagement Solution Providers, the IESP, the Incentive Marketing Association, and Sales and Marketing Management. Thanks too to our guests on this episode, Carl McDonald of VibeSMG and Paul Haynes of Zozo Day. We'll put their contact information in the show notes. Archived episodes of Motivation Insiders are available at incentivemarketing.org/IESP. You'll also find research, white papers, and other resources on the benefits of results-based incentive and recognition programs. Thanks for listening.